This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
We're on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, you can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 50-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
It's that time of the day of the week. It's Davey. It's the Depot. It's the Davey Depot, where you get all the knowledge, expertise, hot takes, and gambling picks from yours truly, your host today and always, Davey Hudson. Take it away.
Cool. The fact of the day, Russia has a whopping 11 time zones within the country.
Man, how do you keep that straight?
It's got to be weird for banking purposes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Russia.
It's continental. Or is it contiguous? I always get that one mixed up.
What's the question?
The 48 states. We only have contiguous. Four time zones.
Yeah. Contiguous.
Contiguous? Yeah.
Contiguous.
What did I say? Contiguous?
Yeah.
Might be a soft J. Could be yogging.
Cam.
You know, I still feel good about that Cam Hua thing.
I mean his name sounds better as Cam
Hua. We were right there.
Kamwa? I mean, really? Cam Hua.
You don't look at that and say, oh, Kamwa. Yeah, you say Cam Hua.
Well, what you got for us, Dave?
Well, the N on the front, very confusing. Yeah.
Or officially the conterminous United States.
Conterminous?
Contiguous. The contiguous United States, or officially the conterminous United States, also known as the lower 48, consists of the 48 adjoining U.S. states and the District of Columbia on the continent of North America. So there's that.
Why do they call it the lower 48? I mean, isn't Hawaii further south than...
I mean, the lowest point.
Should it not be like the eastern 48? I mean, Alaska's up to the west. Hawaii, obviously west. Eastern 48?
Southwesternmost point in Key West. So what's technically branded is it the farthest south you can go.
But is that not just in the contiguous?
I guess so. I believe Hawaii is farther south.
I'll pull up a map and give it a look here. Real quick.
Gambling update. I'm taking the over in the Lakers-Pacers game tonight. Got in at over 223. That one's probably going to continue to rise.
Okay.
Banger of the day. It's a long way to the top by AC/DC. I think after it's a long way to the top, they have in parentheses if you want to rock and roll.
Yeah.
Because that's how the song goes. It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll. But I think that's a very, very long title, so they've kind of just shortened it for title purposes.
Is that a recent move?
I don't know. Uh-huh. But anyway, I gave you the Russia fact because today I'm going to be talking about a conspiracy theory that I've gone down the rabbit hole recently. And then Nate Hickman also got in on it, and they, I believe, have their own theories as well.
Yeah, you guys are all over this. I'm a complete noob, so talk to me like I'm a child.
All right, so the theory involves the country of Russia.
Yes.
Mother Russia. But it's Dyatlov's Pass incident.
Dyatlov.
So if you've not heard of this story, what happened? This is a hiking expedition that has still yet to be officially solved. A lot of the issue with it is the fact that it's in Russia and it was happening the early part of the Cold War, and no one ever is able to really know what happens in Russia. The Soviet Union did a pretty good job of keeping a lot of things under wraps.
I mean, if you watch Chernobyl, you get the idea.
Yeah.
But so what had happened was there were 9 Russian hikers, and they died.
Nine of them.
Yes, they died in the northern part of the Ural Mountains, I believe I'm pronouncing mm-hmm. that correctly. It's U-R-A-L. But this happened in early February of 1959. And all these hikers, they died under mysterious circumstances. Hmm. And so it's called Dyatlov because the leader of the group, his name was Igor Dyatlov. And so he's kind of just taken on the name as far mm-hmm. as they've taken on his name since he was kind of the leader of the group. But so to get you started, this group, they were all experienced hikers, and they decided to go on this hike up into the mountains. And they have had 6 of them listed as death due to hyperthermia, and the other 3 were killed by what they claimed was trauma of a physical nature.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess to just kind of go into the background of the story, so they technically said it was like a skiing expedition in a way, but anyway, they're in the Soviet Union, and they decide to head up into the mountains. And so, of course, back then there was no way they kind of let people know, like, hey, we're expecting to return on this date. Obviously, they never returned. So about a week later, they finally send a search party up there, but they find their tent.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue with the tent as it is, it has been cut open from the inside. They didn't actually open the tent to where you would normally go out. They had to cut their way out of the tent. And as they continue to search for these people, they eventually come across a couple of them, and they're just frozen. Looks as though hypothermia is the reason behind their death.
Mm-hmm.
But then they eventually find some other members of the group, and certain things had happened to where it's like one had a fractured skull, one of them had their chest crushed in, and one of the bodies had its eyes removed and its tongue taken out. And so they kind of found these bodies over a period of time once the search party went up there. But
the tent was empty, and all the group's belongings and shoes had been left behind.
So they basically just leave the tent in the middle of the night is what it looks like, but they don't have any clothing, proper equipment to survive in the elements.
And it's like 40 below.
Yeah, it's like basically, you know, if you leave in those circumstances, like, you are going to die. So something had to make them want to leave the tent to where they had to cut out of it
very quickly.
Yeah. And so there were a couple of people, though, that they think at night they fell off of a cliff into like a ravine.
Mm.
And that's how they found some of the bodies. I think they found those a little bit later because, I mean, it took a toll. But all 9 people died. There was one guy that actually left the trip early. And so he had like a joint pain issue or something that was bothering him. So he turned back, but he's like the only survivor, but he obviously wasn't there whenever everything went super south.
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously turning back saved his life.
There was also a fire that they had started down from the tent.
Mm-hmm.
And they had burns on their body.
And they had burned, like some of the people were found dead around the fire had burned their hands, basically, they think, trying to get warm, like, at the fire, but still, you know, died because it was so cold.
It's very obvious what happened here. Drugs.
Shrooms is one of the theories on here.
That's it. I mean, they all took some, they took some funny mushrooms or some acid or something. They freaked out, they panicked, and they left the tent and froze to death. Fell off ravines, and you know, some animal probably ate the eyes and tongue out of that one guy. Fell off a cliff because you couldn't see. You're freezing cold. You're delirious, and you're on acid.
Well, the chest fractures is where it gets kind of weird because they've done studies, and the amount of pressure that was on the chest would have been that of as if they were in a car crash. But
if you
they
fall off
they
a,
weren't cr- no, 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 no.
Those weren't the guys.
Those
in the
weren't
ravine.
The guys in the ravine.
Maybe you get high, and then your buddy passes out. You jump on his chest. You give him CPR.
That's where the Russian Yeti theory comes into play.
Russian Yeti.
Well, some of the guys had obviously taken clothing off of some of the other bodies that probably died first, or obviously died first, to try and get warm. But, you know, then they're all dead. So the theories are...
How many are there? How many different theories we got?
Well, okay, so there's a good bit. So Russia redid the investigation just a few years ago, right, Davey? And
yeah,
they have said it was an avalanche.
Okay.
So I guess that theory goes that avalanche came over the tent. They obviously are like stuck, and they think like if we don't get out from being buried, we're going to suffocate here like quickly. Mm-hmm. That's why they didn't put their shoes on, or I mean they were asleep, right? So they're in their underwear. A lot of these guys were found in their underwear in 40 below weather, like, which is the weirdest part of this. So they're asleep. Avalanche covers the tent. They freak out like we're going to suffocate if we don't get out of here. So they cut out the tent. They dig out. Then they try and. The weather was supposedly horrific. Like, there was tons of wind, snow. Like, it was awful. Mm-hmm. So they went down the hill towards these trees. That's where they found the little fire. So, mm-hmm. like, to get away from future avalanche and get out of the wind, the tent was obviously useless at that point if it's buried under snow. So they try and go down to the trees. Some guys build a fire. Some guys try and continue looking. Remember, this is 1959 in a massive whiteout. But at the middle of the night, blackout storm, they can't see well. Maybe they couldn't even find their lights after the avalanche. So two guys just kind of, in searching, fall into the ravine. Some other people hunker at the first portion of the trees, try to make a fire. Obviously, that doesn't work. Maybe the avalanche somehow some of it doesn't match up. But there was the first theory.
Yeah, there was a Swedish team that tried to recreate the hike. And just try to figure out, like, what possibly could have gone wrong from the elements. And katabatic winds is kind of the leading theory. Not so much.
Katabatic wind?
So it's basically...
They're extremely violent winds.
Where, like, gravity kind of on the downward slope just makes it like, the pressure is, like, incredible. Like, to the mounts, like, the amount, like, it's hard to withstand. Like, you couldn't even stand up. So... They think that's kind of what
happened. There was a 1978 expedition in Sweden where that happened, and they were saying maybe the katabatic wind made it impossible to remain in the tent, and so they left the tent to go to the tree line to try and get out of the wind. That's another one.
Why would you cut out of the tent?
Exactly. Infrared sound, another hypothesis.
What?
Well, if the wind is so strong, maybe it wouldn't open if they tried to go out the normal way and they physically had to cut themselves out.
Let's go through all the theories and then...
Infrared sound?
Infrasound.
Infrasound.
Infrasound capable of inducing panic attacks. So kind of similar to your drug thing that they just freaked out. According to Donnie Eicher's theory, the infrasound generated by the wind as it passed over the top of the mountain was responsible for causing physical discomfort and mental distress. Eicher claims that because of their panic, the hikers were driven to leave the tent by whatever means necessary, fled down the slope. By the time they were further down the hill, they would have been out of the infrasound's path and would have regained their composure, but in the darkness would have been unable to return to the shelter. The traumatic injury suffered by the three of the victims was a result of their stumbling over the edge of the ravine in the darkness and landing on the rocks at the bottom, yada, yada, yada. So we got avalanche, we got katabatic wind, we got infrasound, we got
the Manzi people.
Tell them about the Manzi people, Dave.
Oh, Manzi people.
Yeah. So the Manzi people are a nomadic group that lived in Russia. So basically, it's like you got this group of like people that are not educated, just kind of like living out in the wilderness all by themselves. They came in and killed them. There's also a theory that they mated with Bigfoot, and so they have like their own Bigfoot Manzi people, and that's.
So it's half Bigfoot, half man.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, very strong. Could have crushed chest.
Made it look like a car wreck.
Ripped out tongues, poked out eyes, threw people in the ravines. All kind of stuff.
Half man, half bear, half pig.
Some other hikers in the area at the time
uh-huh.
reported seeing orange glowing orbs the night of the event. So some people have... gone straight to paranormal theories.
Aliens.
Yeah. UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
Another theory Well, I don't know if this is a theory. This would be why they were in their underwear, mm-hmm. is that as they got paradoxical undressing, is what they call it, which we know is a thing. If you get if you start to suffer the first signs of hypothermia and then it gets a little worse, there's a point where you kind of, because the blood flow is not getting to your mm-hmm. brain, you start to go a little nuts.
Yep.
Your skin can even start burning, kind of like when your leg falls asleep, because your body is pulling all the blood with your organs trying to keep them warm, and your skin starts burning so much and you go a little crazy, so you actually take your clothes off because you think that you're
overheating.
You're hot, even though you're actually freezing.
Like those people on the Indianapolis when they were getting dehydrated and they said, we're going to swim down to the ship and drink out of the water fountain, and they drown?
Yeah.
Kind of like that saying. Yeah. Like you.
I'm pretty sure that this actually happened to the woman that died in the Smokies up around Clingman's Dome a couple years ago. They found her like half naked way up in a creek bed somewhere where you should never, I mean, like everything she did when she like lost it mentally was just the wrong thing to do. Really, really sad situation. But I have my theory. Chris,
oh,
would you like to hear it?
Why not?
The campsite fell within a documented path
of
Soviet parachute mine exercises.
I'm learning a lot of things, like phrases and words I've never heard. Infrasound, for example, I never heard of that. Paradoxical undressing.
A
right?
parachute mine.
What's a parachute mine?
Explodes before it hits the ground. It's meant to parachute in to enemy troops and explode so that the reverb and the shrapnel and everything, or you know, whatever the case may be, the poundage, you know, happens in the air, like at human, you know, like head level, basically.
Kind of like Fat Boy, but not a nuclear weapon.
Continue, Nate.
It exploded over the city.
Yeah. Boom. Overhead. The theory alleges that the hikers, woken by loud explosions,
mm-hmm.
because that's the weirdest thing, is cutting out of the, you have to explain, why would experienced hikers think that they could run out in 40 below weather in their underwear or with mm-hmm. and with no shoes? I mean, that makes absolutely no sense. I mean, you wouldn't even do that if you were experienced in, you know, 30-degree weather. Woken by loud explosions, fled the tent in a shoeless panic, and found themselves unable to return for supply retrieval. See, here's the thing about the fire that started. There were even some branches broken off one of the trees near the fire. So part of the theory is that one of the guys actually tried to climb a tree to see if they could see back to where the tent was. So if they, that to me, that says they fled the tent, but then they thought, we've got to get back to the tent. If it was covered in an avalanche, why would you try and get back to the tent? Makes no sense.
I still don't understand why they would cut out of it.
Well, it's old school. It's 1959's tent. There's like, it's like tied and buttons. It's not like a zipper, like on a neo nylon, whatever they make them out of these days. Like it's a huge, like it's a big, like one of those big canvas style, you know. If there are explosions and you think you got to run for your life, makes sense. After some members froze to death attempting to endure the bombardment, others commandeered their clothing, only to be fatally injured by subsequent parachute mine concussions. That would explain the chest being crushed. That would explain the skull fracture. Because the guy with the skull fracture, they said his skull was fractured, but not to the point where it killed him.
Oof.
Which would make sense that he had this, like, you know?
Mm.
Parachute mines detonate while still in the air rather than striking the Earth's surface and produce signature injuries similar to those experienced by the hikers. Heavy internal damage with relatively little external trauma. That was the thing about the chest being crushed. If you fall off a ravine and your chest is crushed, the skin, I mean, everything, like you hit something. These guys were crushed internally and their outer skin was like intact. Isn't that weird? This theory coincides with reported sightings of glowing orange orbs floating or falling in the sky within the general vicinity of the hikers and allegedly photographed by them, potentially military aircraft or the descending parachute mines themselves. And then some speculate that maybe, as the Russians go to investigate, they know kind of what the issues are, so some of the stuff that doesn't quite match with this theory could have been the Russian military kind of positioning bodies and doing a few things to make it, you know, not check out.
The first five bodies were found fairly quickly, but the ones that fell in the ravine, it took them 2 months to find them.
Buried
so
in
those were the ones that had like the missing eyes and stuff, which they believe the like animal predation have gotten in there. One of the guys, it was weird, he was missing his knuckle, and they were like, where is his knuckle? Well, it turns out it was in his mouth. He ended up biting his own knuckle off, I guess, like during the part of hypothermia where he was just trying to stay warm, but he bit down so hard he bit his own knuckle off.
I'm sticking with drugs. LSD was popular in the 50s and 60s.
Drugs.
They're in the tent. They're hanging. Exactly. Hey, what else are we going to do? Let's just pop some LSD.
None of you are going to mention the Wolverine theory.
I was saving that for you.
They were eating in the tent around the time they had to leave. This was proven. And so the theory is a Wolverine somehow got in the tent, so it must have been cracked. Then they closed the Wolverine up in there. And I didn't know this, but apparently they have like this odor that they can just spray like a skunk. And so apparently once it was in the tent, they tried to whack it or something. It sprays them. Odor, terrible. So you just cut your way out of the tent, and then you just run out, and then you get lost because the winds came in later that night. And so you get lost, you get disoriented, you can't find your way back to your tent, and then bad stuff happens to you. But part of the reason they think it might have actually been a Wolverine was because apparently some guy in the search party said the dogs were acting very weird when they went to look for him. And so they're thinking that the dog was picking up the odor from the Wolverine.
One of the guys did die with a pen in his hand, and there was a piece of paper nearby, but he was never able to write down anything.
What if he's going to write Wolverines?
What if he wrote the whole thing down and the Russian military is like, yep, not going to have that page.
Confiscate it.
It's drugs.
Drugs.
No, I swear. Like, that's a thing that people say when they trip on LSD or acid. They feel like they've been given all the secrets to the world and they have to write it down so that they can remember it when they come off their trip. Mm-hmm. And then they never do because they're tripping out of their mind.
Well, they also don't think it was an avalanche now because there were footprints left behind, and an avalanche would have covered up the footprints.
Also, that area has no known avalanches.
Yeah.
Like, it makes no sense. And where they put the tent, they were saying it wasn't the best spot to put a tent, but it wasn't a bad spot to put a tent. They were experienced hikers. The tent was in a fine place as long as you don't have a nasty storm. Obviously, they're not, like, getting weather reports out there in 1959. It seems weird, but like if they ran out of the tent that fast, the only thing that makes sense is that they couldn't get back. I mean, even like you have to stay in the shelter. You have to use your shelter. So it had to be something that literally scared them out of the tent so badly that they then could not find their way back and they just died in the elements.
LSD.
Methanol poisoning is one. An altercation that got out of hand on the trip is another theory.
Nah, that's lame. I swear, I landed on it immediately.
So wouldn't there be drugs in their system, though?
A week later? Probably not.
If they're
dead.
Frozen like that,
yeah.
They're frozen.
Do they have great drug testing in 59?
I don't know.
They would have been able to figure that out. Listen, I had a case that I was working on not too long ago. This happened, I think it was 2014. But a husband killed his wife, threw her body in the Mississippi. This was up in like Minnesota area, and it was in the dead of winter. And they were able to link him to being the last person to see her alive because the food contents in her stomach matched what was on the last receipt that they had from the restaurant they went to that night. This took 3 months later.
I get that, but this is 1959. There's no internet.
But...
They
could have tested stomach contents
a week later, frozen. But I don't. Maybe they
frozen,
could. I have
this
no
took,
idea.
This took over 3 months to find this woman.
Well, I'm tired. I know, but that's a recent story. This is 1959.
But that wasn't advanced technology that they used to find out like what she had recently eaten.
Houston, I got the evidence you need, buddy.
Uh huh.
There were no drugs present, and the only alcohol was a small flask of medicinal alcohol found intact at the scene. The group had even sworn off cigarettes for the expedition. They swore off cigarettes, but they're going to go out there and do some shrooms,
yep.
LSD, some acid? I don't think so.
I'm telling you. It's the only explanation. It's the only thing that could drive. How many people was it? Seven? Eight?
Nine.
The only thing that can make nine people simultaneously go that bananas is LSD.
No.
You pop it at the same time.
It's
the
Russian military. Parachute mines.
Oh, my God.
Amateur aviation historian Andrew
there's a perfect cut in the tent, and they left it because things were blowing up? That doesn't make any sense. Why would you cut out of it?
It's not a perfect cut. They just ripped the knife out and just hacked out of that thing.
Why?
Because there were bombs going off.
Just unzip the door.
There's not a zipper. It's like tied and stuff. It's a different type of tent.
You guys, you're overthinking it. Yetis.
He was just throwing out the
I was listening to
monster
Davey.
People.
What do you
I
think
went
happened?
Catabatic wind.
Catabatic wind.
I think it moved. Now, there probably was testing in the area, and I'm sure that they tried to do something to cover it up. I mean, I don't trust that at all, but I do think the initial reason for why they left the tent was the catabatic winds freaked them out, and they didn't really have any other options other than they thought they had to. I also thought they could have had hypothermia inside of the tent as well. They weren't able to stay warm, and the catabatic wind could do that because I think they said that the winds at that rate could reach like 30 meters a second.
Wouldn't you put more clothes
80
meters,
on, though?
80
meters
yeah,
a second.
You were just cold
I don't think they,
to start
yeah.
with?
But then they started to lose clothes. Like, they found them, like, having undressed.
Hmm. But they would have put their okay. Maybe if they go crazy in the tent. All right.
LSD.
Apparently, there was a U.S. spy plane, got declassified in U.S. documents, you know, years after the fact.
Well, Russia tried to blame the U.S.
in 1959.
Sure
yeah.
Yeah,
they did everything. I mean, that was Russia and the United States in the 50s and 60s.
One aviation historian says it could have been a photo flash bomb dropped by the U.S. spy plane.
Photo flash bomb.
Yeah.
I mean, these are terms I've never heard before.
It's
all
crazy,
this entire thing. Catabatic wind. Mm-hmm. I mean, paradoxical undress. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And the photo flash. What's a photo flash bomb?
It's the same type of thing as the parachute. It detonates, you know, higher up, and they said it could have detonated even closer to the ground than it was supposed to. Could have caused issues. I don't know.
Frag out.
Dyatlov's Pass. If you want to, you know, deep dive. Could have just been Bigfoot, you know?
Flash bomb.
That makes sense. Avalanche, Russians. Yeah. I don't think so.
LSD.
No way.
Look up the history of LSD.
They swore off cigarettes.
Version.
It didn't come through. I don't know. It's not working through the speaker properly.
What do you mean?
I played it not on the system.
Right,
I played like I unplugged everything and I played it. It sounded just fine. Normal.
It's picking up. It's only picking up one track.
So
it's the same thing that happens with snow.
It's
the
stereo
it's you're picking up a mono.
Yeah, mono. Yeah, that's
so
bad.
That's a stereo track that you're playing in a mono chord. Way to go, Dave. Jeez. Made to ruin the banger. Well, I'm glad we, you know, solved the mystery of the Russian hikers from 1959.
That was better.
What song is this supposed to be?
Long Way to the Top. Yeah, I think we got it. You just gonna... All right.
Yeah. I'm glad we
there you
solved
go.
That.
Yeah.
Sure.
Would you just not have it plugged in all the way?
No, it was plugged in. I just chose a different version.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Okay. So it was just...
So you played a bad version. We got it.
It was the top one on YouTube. I blame YouTube.
Mm.
Definitely not myself.
Of course not. Yeah. Personal responsibility is overrated.
Damn right.
Mm.
All right. Well, I don't know where to go after that. That was it was an interesting conversation. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I learned a lot of new words. Photo bomb.
Photo,
yeah, that thing. That's cool. Paradoxical in dressing. Catabatic wind. I'm telling you, that's LSD. That has LSD written all over it. We swore off cigarettes. Yeah, but they didn't. Mm. They had the sugar cubes.
All right.
Just saying.
No sign of that, but.
What do you mean, no sign of it? That's what crazy people do on drugs.
Okay. Well,
Google it.
You should Google it. It's worth Google.
We can all have our own theory. It's all right. We'll never know.
Yeah, I know. Yeti makes more sense. Yeah, go for that. Or the people that...
None of us ever believed the Yeti was
well,
the thing.
What did
that
you
was
say?
More of a 1960s
the Manzi
theory?
People who slept with Bigfoot and had Bigfoot babies?
He's a wind guy. Davey's a wind guy. I'm a bombs guy. You're a drug guy. Hickman.
I'm not a drug... Don't say that. I'm not a drug guy. That's just
Hickman's
my... That's
Hickman's
my
an animal guy.
The guy with the pen and the paper that gives it all away. That's what people do when they're on LSD. They think they have the secret and the keys to the universe and life, and they go to write it down, and they never write it down. Like, oh, I got my pen.
Why do they never write it down?
Because they're...
Wouldn't they start writing crazy stuff?
Well, sometimes they do. Yeah, that's what I was telling Dave during the break. They'll write down all the greatest secrets that they learned while they were tripping on acid or LSD or peyote or DMT or whatever, mm-hmm. and then they'll wake up the next day and it's like horse, like that's they'll write one word.
They probably physically couldn't do it. I would believe that.
I'm sorry.
Physically, I probably couldn't write.
Oh, maybe
I have like
well,
whenever
ink,
I have
if it was a pen, the ink's probably frozen. He should have had a pencil because he's you know, but mm-hmm. these guys are clearly morons.
No, and I have
their experience hikers.
Then he should have had a pencil.
When my Raynaud's acts up, like I can't even like feel my fingers at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I can imagine, like if you're in a hypothermic situation where all the blood has left your extremities, you're not able to properly. Like he was able to grip it. That was about the extent of like what he was able to do there.
Mm-hmm. Drugs. Pretty simple. Isaiah Nayor is visiting Texas this week, Nate. I think he's down there today.
I don't fault him one bit.
He's committed to Tennessee, obviously. He has visited now Ole Miss, Tennessee over the weekend, and he's at Texas today.
But you got to look at it like this. And this was a kid who was he even a two-star coming out?
He was a two-star.
He was a two-star.
Yeah.
This kid never really got a recruiting cycle whenever he was in high school.
Oh, you're saying he's just sowing his oats?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I would have wanted to. I mean, they're treating this guy like he's a five-star commit, like all the major programs are involved. He's getting to visit all of these schools that he never got the opportunity to when he was coming out of high school. So he's like, you know what? I want to take my official visits. I'm going to do what I wish I would have been able to do a couple of years ago. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm going to choose the school that I believe is the best fit for me to – one, have a productive college career, and then get me into the NFL.
He said his visit to Tennessee, quote, definitely helped a lot.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Helped a lot. That's what we like to hear, I guess. I thought this was a done deal, though.
I think I'm with Davey. Like, he's committed. He's like, hey, I'm coming there. I hold my spot, but I'm going to go visit Ole Miss and now he's going to Texas. I think he visited Southern Cal. I mean, he's making the rounds. I mean, I've always said, like, I think we've had this conversation on the show before. I know I've had it on some radio show before. But, like, if you had five visits, right, what five would you take? Like, what five schools would you be like, well, I'm going, whether you knew where you were going to go or not, what five visits would you take? If it's me, I'm not taking a visit to Tennessee because I know I'm going to go to Tennessee, but I'm going to go to, I mean, Southern Cal's there.
Would you commit to Tennessee and then visit, or would you visit and then commit to Tennessee?
Why not? I told you I wouldn't visit Tennessee. I'd be committed to Tennessee. I'm like, hey, I'm going to go on these visits. I'm going to eat great food. I'm going to get people to fall all over me, and then I'll be back in a month.
Do you not feel shame to do that, though?
Why? What's
do you
shameful?
Not feel, you're Who's, wasting the other school's time. You're wasting their money.
They want
you're
me to come on the visit. They want to buy me dinner.
But
they
you
want
know
to,
you're not going to go there.
That's on
Don't
them.
Don't you feel like a fake? Like
no.
I mean,
I would say,
do you go around like on Sunday afternoons to open houses that you're not going to buy and just go in and eat the cookies and chat up the realtor and waste their – I mean, like
– occasionally. It depends on what else I have on the
agenda. Are they paying me
today.
To come in there? Are they flying me in? No. Okay. Then no, I'm not
I mean,
doing that.
They're providing the free cookies.
Fake.
It's not being fake. It's called the...
You're not going to buy the house. Why are you there?
I guess there's a chance I go on a visit and fall in love with the place and say, wow, this is my place. But in the back of my head, I always know I'm not going there. But I'm giving them a chance to change my mind. See, it's me doing them a favor. I'm giving them a chance.
I guess it depends on what you've told them on the front end. If you're like, hey, I'm not going to come there. And they're like, you still want me to visit? Are you sure? Because I'm not coming to your school.
And you know what they say?
What?
Yeah, we're sure. Come on.
All right.
We're flying you, your mom, okay. your dad. We got you a hotel
room.
They
know what the deal is.
We got your favorite snacks.
But if you're pretending like you're not going to go somewhere, you're not going to go. I don't understand. I don't get it.
Change my mind. That's what I take the visit. I'm saying change my mind. Mm. He's committed to Tennessee.
Okay.
When he committed to Tennessee, did Ole Miss say, oh, don't come on a visit. Don't worry about it. No, they said, come on. Right. Did Texas say, oh, you're committed to Tennessee? We'll stop recruiting you then out of respect for Tennessee.
Well,
they didn't do that, did they? No, he's on the visit.
We talked about how the word committed doesn't, you know, it's not the right word. I mean, committed doesn't, like, means not going to change. Like, that's kind of a
No, that's problem. Not fair, because, like, you could be in a committed relationship, but it's also an open relationship.
But you're still committed to the rules of engagement there.
Yeah, but then, things could go to where it's like it's no longer...
Recruiting means you're going to you commit to the school to go to the school.
Yeah, for the foreseeable future, but then things change.
Okay. I think you get my point.
What five visits?
Am I a basketball or a football player?
I don't care.
Well, that's very big different. I would take a visit to Duke if I'm a basketball player. I definitely would not if I'm a football player. I would also take a visit to Kentucky if I'm a basketball player. I would not for football.
What I'm saying is I don't care which one you pick. I'm just like, I'm not saying any sport ever. What I'm
Hawaii.
Saying, that's a good choice. I like that choice. Really, and that sport, it doesn't matter because you're just going to Hawaii.
Yeah.
They're flying you out there.
Football, I would choose Texas A&M, especially right now.
You don't get the deal unless you go there.
You might get a sweetener on the front end. Or some
McDonald's
other
bag. He got game type stuff. Yeah. You walk into a room and there's two. Yeah.
Oh, I've so Texas A&M.
Two Texas schools, really?
Yeah, dude. It's where the money is.
I'd never visit Texas A&M.
USC.
I am. I'm with you on USC. I'm with you on Texas. I like the Hawaii one a lot. That's really.
I don't know about my other two. I'd have to spend some
USC,
time.
USC, Texas. I'm going to Oregon.
Okay.
I really like the Hawaii, though. That's like really, that's top shelf. Maybe Miami?
I don't know. Their facilities are not very good.
I'm not going to check out the weight room. I'm going to Miami. Mm-hmm.
Penn State's
Yeah, but
mine.
I mean, don't they pretty much
Penn State. You're going to go to State College, Pennsylvania for a recruiting visit.
I've always been a Penn State football fan.
Oh, did you guys know this? He must talk about this all the time since he's always such a big fan.
I did like that. I did.
I've
like
heard
Penn
him
State.
Say it before.
No, you haven't.
I have. I absolutely.
I'm
have.
Around him literally as much and only when you are. He's never said
he
that.
Has. He said.
I think I remember him saying something like that one time.
It was during football season.
There's no way.
I was on their campus as a kid, and I bought a piggy bank.
It was a long
piggy bank.
It was cool. Around the time they played Iowa.
State College, PA. That's where you're at. Hickman's going to. Really?
I hear the co-eds at Ohio State are really nice. I'd probably add that to the list.
I was debating Ohio State for my fifth or Michigan.
Where else did you go? Texas.
Texas, USC. I like Hawaii. I mean, that's not a bad one.
But you said Miami and Oregon. Miami was kind of your Hawaii trip, and then Ohio State?
I haven't decided on Ohio State. Mm. I mean, I've been there, and I'm not very impressed. Columbus, not my jam.
I wouldn't want to go this time of year.
What about like UNLV in Las Vegas?
If I'm Bailey? Over 21, sure.
Oh, that's right. I
was like, are we ever going to mention that?
Yeah, great point by Hickman. Harrison Bailey's new college destination, Las Vegas.
Just as we all predicted.
Hmm.
I mean, it would change with the times. Like right now, I think I'd go down to Ole Miss and hang out with Lane Kiffin for a
weekend. I would not want to live in Las Vegas. And now it's so easy.
What's wrong with Las Vegas?
It's it's not that fun of a place, man.
What about
like,
Pittsburgh?
I've never been. I've never been. That's why I might take a
visit.
With
the amount of casinos that are in like other areas, there's other places you could go and just get
the
same.
But it's Vegas. I mean, it's Vegas, you know.
Might go hang out with Chad.
After 2 days, I was ready to coast leave.
Well, that's about how long a visit lasts.
Dirty Myrtle.
Just to go say you've been there. Myrtle Beach. You really are an East Tennessee dad. That's for sure. I'm going to Myrtle Beach.
It's not really Myrtle Beach. It's Conway.
It's right by the beach.
I typically prefer North Myrtle anyway. A little classier.
Oh, you're North Myrtle guy?
Well, we used to go to Holden and Ocean
Island
growing up.
Oh, yeah. Been to Holden?
Yeah.
I had a shirt from there one time. Oh. Great kite shop in Holden Beach. I mean, amazing. I mean, they got like a 12x12 octopus. I don't know how it flies.
River's Edge Golf Course in Charlotte, North
Carolina. That's your place.
Is incredible.
I was actually going to go play that last time I was in Myrtle, but it was too far away.
Hidden gem. Right across the line up there.
Myrtle Beach.
Hey, go ahead and put Oxford on the list for me.
Oxford.
Have you ever been to Oxford?
Drove through it.
I don't think so. That's not how Oxford goes. You don't just drive through it. You drive around it. Did you go to the square?
No.
Yeah, you didn't go to Oxford. You might have been in like the county that Oxford resides, but you weren't in Oxford.
You know, there are Pac-12 schools that would just be cool trips. Just to go out west?
I got my fifth. Wyoming.
Arizona State.
You ever been to Laramie? Oh, mm-mm. My gosh. That is the most picturesque
Colorado
football
state. Colorado.
Well, I've told you, places. Colorado State, probably the most beautiful campus I've ever seen.
My cousin played at Colorado State. Soccer, not football.
When old McIntyre got Colorado going, they won that natty.
Never. I've never been to Boulder.
They'd invite those guys out. And when it was like, warm there on campus.
Yeah.
So the co-eds would be out. They could be in shorts and T-shirts, and they could see the snow out on the mountains. It's like, done deal.
That's exactly what it was in Fort Collins.
Yep.
It's amazing. Then I went and watched Peyton throw his first touchdown as a Bronco the next day.
Good times.
It's a great weekend.
All right. Good trip. Final segment brought to you by the FanDuel Sportsbook app. If you're missing football on Thursdays, you can still turn every Thursday into payday with the NBA on TNT on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Doesn't matter if you win or lose, you can get $10 back every Thursday. Just bet $10 or more on the same game parlay on any NBA on TNT game. Make sure it's NBA on TNT. $10 same game parlay, and they'll credit you back $10, win or lose. It's a great deal. It's free money. I don't know what else. How you can beat that. It's the perfect way to turn a small bet into a big-time score and you get the $10 back guaranteed win or lose. We love FanDuel. You will as well. Live betting, easy to use, pay you out quick. Get $10 back every Thursday, win or lose, with TNT Thursdays. And if you're new to FanDuel, sign up using our promo code 3OUT to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Make every moment more this NBA season. That's promo code 3OUT. Must be 21 or older in present Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
According to bestcollegeviews.org, very renowned website, I'm sure, Virginia is the most beautiful college campus. I'm pretty sure I've been to Virginia, and I was not impressed.
Virginia's Charlottesville.
Beautiful. But maybe it wasn't. Maybe we just played Virginia in Virginia, but not in Charlottesville. Because I know we played Old Dominion.
Hmm.
Did you know it was founded by Thomas Jefferson?
Yeah, I did, actually. It was in the thing that I just read about it, saying, you know. Stanford comes in at 14.
Okay.
Indiana is at 15. You ever been to Indiana?
No.
Neither.
I've been to the state. That's about it. I was supposed to go on New Year's, but that didn't happen.
You've been to the state of Indiana. It's good stuff.
Hmm.
I'm going to go to the very northern
now
part.
This is Vanderbilt's 24th? Really?
What are they rating here?
the most beautiful college campuses.
I don't think so. I got another list here by Architectural Digest. Hawaii's number one.
I thought it was
cool.
Yeah,
Hawaii was in the top. They were in, like, they're fourth, I think.
The first time I ever visited Vanderbilt, I thought it was cool how, like, you're in the city, and then it's kind of like its own little thing.
Yeah.
St. John's College in Santa Fe, New Mexico is number two. I'll hit the big ones. Brown.
Ole Miss comes in at 28th on this list. Duke, 29. Furman at 30.
Furman is pretty.
Well, he's at ETSU now.
Oh, yeah. Head man, right?
That's right. University of San Diego. Yeah, pretty much anything in San Diego is going to be awesome. Well, I'll be damned, Hickman. Pennsylvania State University, 36.
There you go.
Not bad.
You see Santa Cruz? You know what their mascot is? Anyone?
Banana slugs. Slugs?
Banana slugs. Good job, guys. That's a good pull. That's a good pull.
Are they 37? Were they 37?
They were 37. Banana slugs. Maybe that's what we should call the 37. We are the banana slug. North Carolina comes in at 39. I think that's a bad one. I didn't think North Carolina looked that good. Alabama, this list is stupid. Alabama at 41. You ever been to Tuscaloosa?
No.
Dump!
I like Auburn.
We drove past it once on a...
Auburn wasn't bad.
On a tennis trip. I can't remember who we were playing down in Alabama.
University of Tennessee, 21 on the list of ugliest college campuses in the country.
That's probably an old list. They've done a lot of green work over there. Looks good now.
Everything, nothing matches.
It looks better than it did.
Keep it locked in for more Fan Run Radio.